got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs.
Whites are mindless stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. They got robbers, thugs, drug dealers. All right, you name it.
Thug life.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
I am greatly concerned about having a convict in the office. And I do not care if that convict is white, black, Asian, German, or some kind of halfsy. I do not like criminals.
We're gonna have a TV party, all right!
Anyone gonna come after Omar, they're gonna know Omar's coming after him.
O-N-D.
I don't really think it's fair for me to be on a jury because I can read thoughts.
Yes, miss.
Everybody's gonna hang out here tonight.
All right!
We'll pass out on the couch. All right!
No suit up. So you do have a plan.
Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, science.
Ben wants to be, have a couple of brews. Don't talk about anything else. We don't want to know. We're dedicated to our favorite.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key.
You know what gets me about this song? Henry never, like, ever since he fucking had the job at Baskin Robbins that he talks about, he didn't really have a real job. You know, he was in a band, and yeah, that's hard work and all that, but sitting there bagging, all we want to do is sit around and drink beer and watch TV. Motherfucker!
I always thought that was a positive.
Yeah.
If you have a real job, Henry.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that kind of, oh, well, I'm so much better because I'm blah. Like, no, motherfucker, at the end of the day, all I want to do, it's not that I have nothing better to do, there's nothing I'd rather do.
Jim, you don't understand. He's better than us because he was in a punk rock band.
Oh, well, now I have sense of it all.
And has more tattoos than even I do.
It's spoken word.
Right.
Not stand-up comedy.
Spoken word. His politics are in line with other good people. So therefore, he is a good guy.
Good.
Not a nerd. Speaking the truth to us Philistines.
Ah, well.
He is preaching among the Iroquois. Pray for him.
Why, thank you, Henry. Wow, welcome back.
TV party tonight!
TV party! We've got nothing better to do
than record podcasts and talk to all of you.
Wow, I thought you were going to go...
No, you thought I was going to say Jew, didn't you?
Because Matt, yeah, I thought you were going to go right to Matt.
No.
What I love is Matt says that on that one recording, all he's done is guarantee there's going to be reference to my Jewish friend Matt in every episode. He wrote that check, we're cashing.
That's right.
So, television. We formulated differently. Campbell did a little more chronological. I found that, I've gotten into TV shows a whole lot more lately. And I think people talk about how shitty everything on TV is. I disagree entirely. I think we're in a fucking golden age right now.
We are totally in the golden age.
Yeah, if you look at some of the amazing shit that's out there.
Things are much more nuanced now.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Bachelor Pad. And
70s is two pages.
Yeah.
80s, two and a half almost.
Yeah.
90s. By the time I get to 2000s, we're looking at four pages.
Yeah.
Because it gets more nuanced and more nuanced to a target audience.
Mm-hmm. I've done things where I've got a list of what I think are the 10 best that I've watched recently and that I'm really into. I've got some comedies. I've got separate list of comedies, separate list of dramas, and two lists. One, shows that were on didn't get enough time.
Hmm.
And another of shows that were just on too goddamn long and are fucking just dead to me now because of it.
Right.
So we've got a lot of different ways we can go. Well, let's start with some of your chronology, because I'm going to tell you most of my shit, with the exception of one, is 2000s. And I'm fine with that. People, I don't give a fuck what you think. I'm fine with my shit being 2000s.
I went online and went to, I can't remember the website, Crazy About TV or something.
Right.
I just typed in 70s, 80s, okay. 90s, yeah. 2000s. And these whole lists showed up that I copied and pasted and printed out.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to go into any depth of these until we strike on something that I really give a damn about.
Right, right.
But I can remember the 70s because of the things that I really liked or things that grabbed my attention for one reason or the other.
Uh-huh.
But some of these, like the majority of these, I'm not really going to go into depth about. But
okay.
Of the 70s, which is quite a bit,
uh-huh.
All in the Family.
Okay, yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man, which was awful.
Yes.
Are You Being Served, which I didn't actually see until a lot later, but...
Very British.
Very British and very funny.
Yes.
Barney Miller, Battlestar Galactica, Benson.
The
Bionic Woman.
Which one?
The Bionic Woman.
Ah, yes. Remake, not so good, even though that broad was
ridiculous. Really... And very attractive.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yes. And redonkulous.
One shade of red hair away from being factory built.
Almost Reclarkulous.
Almost Christine Hendricksulous.
No.
But, no, I said almost.
Yeah, almost.
Yes. Yes.
Brady Bunch, Buck Rogers, Fantasy Island, original, not the creepy remake with Malcolm McDowell.
Have you seen the South Park that does the Buck Rogers take? God, yes. That's so good.
Incredible Hulk, Jeffersons, Kojak the Night Stalker, Kojak and Kolchak.
Kolchak, yeah, I was going to say.
Kojak the Night Stalker.
Did you just make it
be a really good show?
Make the greatest show ever?
You're a werewolf, baby. Land of the Lost.
Hold on, NBC's on the phone. Dude, did I ever tell you that I took a screenwriting class from the guy who wrote the pilot episode of Land of the Lost?
Yes.
Yes, and he wrote for Man from U.N.C.L.E.
But I will slow down for this. Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
When it mattered. There was a point in my young lesbian life that my only dream when I was about 13, 14 years old.
When you and I were first met.
Right. I want to be on SNL.
Yeah.
I want to be on SNL. I wanted to be on SNL more than anything in the world.
And what's weird is I will stand by this.
Luckily, I'm cured.
Yeah, I think you and I both fell for that at the same time. I'm going to stand by this. The early shit was good. But there's a lot of bad stuff that's getting held up. Like, the fucking Coneheads is painful.
Sure.
You and I came to be in the time that I thought was best for Saturday Night Live, and that is Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson?
The coach
of the Lakers.
I loved his work in SNL.
Man, I was rolling there, and then I completely dropped Phil Hartman. Which
right.
I want to kill myself over. Phil Hartman, Nora Dunn, Jan Hooks, Dennis Miller, Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, John Lovitz, a little bit of an introduction to Mike Myers at the end there. That, to me, is the fucking best Saturday Night Live. That's the best SNL cast. And if you look at how classic the shit that came out then was,
fantastic.
Oh, Phil Hartman, Chris Farley's death overshadowed it, but I'm still personally, from a personal standpoint, I'm not ready for Phil Hartman to be dead. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. He was so incredible. He made that, that show, I remember sitting up late to watch that. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, this person was great on Weekend Update, blah, blah, blah. Fucking that is
Look, Chevy
Dennis...
Chase was fantastic.
Yeah.
In that, Frisco Franco is still dead.
Yeah, Norm MacDonald did some hilarious stuff. The Frank Stallone jokes, the world's worst job, crack whore. Second worst job, assistant crack whore. Great, but to me, Dennis Miller, and people are going to... To me, Dennis Miller's Weekend Update was almost the prototype for The Daily Show.
No, it was.
Yeah, I mean... There are a lot of people who would disagree with that, but really look
They've
at
been
what
copying
happened.
That ever since.
Yeah. I mean, look at the way Miller did it, because he monologized.
Yeah, and at that point, no one really had done that before.
Yeah.
I mean, Chevy Chase would say funny stuff and, kind of just go read the lines.
Yeah.
But Dennis, at the time, had a particular point of view where, which is not what he has now.
Yeah, totally different than what he has now.
But it worked for the time, and he would go off, and that is now...
or is, or what was rather, the template from which the Daily Show, Colbert Report, all this stuff has come from.
Now, what's interesting, though, if you look at Miller, has there ever been a time on SNL up to this point where they had someone who did nothing but Weekend Update?
Exactly.
Every once in a while, they needed somebody, a body in a suit.
Yeah.
And it, one of the best was when they had Dana Carvey imitating him doing the night before Christmas.
Yeah.
The second the second best imitation of someone next to them. Where the best was when they wanted to do a thing on when Mick Jagger was hosting, where it was going to be Mick Jagger as Mick Jagger and Mike Myers as Keith Richards. And Myers was trying to imitate Richards, and Mick's like, no, no, he's more like this, and starts imitating him. And Mike goes, what if I imitated you and you did Keith? And Mick was like, yes. And it's this great thing of them just playing off each other, and it is the best of both of them. And it ends with them writing a song together.
Exactly.
Because that's what I imagine it's like with him. But SNL, it's weird. It's always had high and low points. Right now, I think it's at a low. It has some stuff that's totally good, but that show is on the air because of Annie Samberg.
Yeah.
Samberg's Lonely Island shit, those digital shorts, the only thing that's keeping that show afloat right now.
Yeah.
It's
a shadow of its former self.
Yeah. And, I mean, what's weird is, it's gone through phases where they've tried to bring in, like, established people, and the more established they go for, the weaker it is.
Yeah.
And then, because, like, for a while they had shit where it was, like, Jay Moore and Michael McKeon and Mark McKinney from The Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
And the Janine Garofalo, which, interesting thing on Janine Garofalo, I read the book Live from New York where it went through, it's a, like, the oral history of the show.
Right.
And all of the writers are like, yeah, Janine complains and says that there are no parts written for women on this. She showed up and expected us to hand her parts. And then they go to her, oh yeah, they can't, they don't want to work with a woman. Then they cut to Sarah Silverman, who's like, no, she didn't form a relationship
Gilda
with
Radner
writers.
And Jane Curtin never existed.
Yeah, fuck Gilda. What does Gilda know? God, I miss Gilda Radner. Oh,
so do I.
Man, just saying that name now reminds me of when she popped up on It's Gary Shandling show. Mm. Classic, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never seen it, like, Larry Sanders is good. It's Gary Shandling show. Let me see if I can do this. This is a theme to Gary show. The theme to Gary show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. We're almost to the part of where I start to whistle, and then we'll start his Gary Shandling show. And then he whistles that. I still remember that from years ago. Gilda, near the end of her life, popped up on that show. And she came in, and they always acknowledged that there was an audience there. But she, Gary would turn his back, and she would look at the audience and throw her arms up, and they would go fucking wild.
Of course.
And then he'd turn around, and she'd go, she was so good. And back then, what the show was, what it started as, was let's find great established sketch comedians. People who've done this shit with the Groundlings.
Sure. Second City, whatever.
My thought was, I almost went to Northwestern. But I knew that if I went to Northwestern, I would have failed out because I would be on a train going to Chicago. Okay, where's Second City? What do I have to do to get in here?
Sure.
And I would have that would have been way too much money. But they took people who developed it on stage. And you and I met doing the improv stuff, doing the shit on stage. And
I just love improv so much that I thought, well, shit, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you and I, and I'll tell you, man, if we had kept going the way that we had and ended up with professionals, we could have ended up doing it.
I don't know.
I couldn't just because my size is, your size is character type. Mine is totally prohibitive. Mine,
oh, yeah.
The 6'8 blows me out of everything.
Yeah, you and I are sanctioned off to goon.
Yeah, yeah. Know. Or thug.
Hey, what do you know?
Ah, you know, this show, by the way, was almost the film Goons, but it just sounded too weird. That was one of the ideas that I came up with.
Not as good as...
God, that... Crap.
That's right.
Yeah, that thing was just Good Time Revival in film school.
That's right. The donut robot Good Time Film School and Wheel Machine.
Yep.
God damn it.
That would have just hurt too much to put on that bumper sticker. But no, SNL, when they tried to create it, it fails. When they let it be, it's awesome. Like, Will Ferrell came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Wayne's World started as a sketch that they tacked on at the last minute to fill a few minutes.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy did nothing on that show for the half of a season. And then they had, like, three extra minutes at the end of a show, and they said, hey, Eddie, go out and do your audition piece. Okay. Yeah. And exploded from there.
Exactly. Those are better times.
You know, much
Speaking
better
of better times.
Uh-huh.
Obviously a lot older than the 70s. The Tonight Show.
Oh, God.
With Johnny Carson.
And even though Johnny was technically the fourth host.
Correct.
Because everyone forgets Jazzbo was in there for a while. Is it Jazzbo Sims or something?
Yes.
Yes. Jack Parr, Steve Allen, Jazzbo, then Johnny. And what kills me is near the end, I wanted Johnny to quit because I was like, he's getting too old. He's not there. And Jay, when Jay guested, was good.
It was okay.
Yeah.
When he guested, because you always thought, well, he's just guesting.
Yeah. But also, he still had to respect that it was Johnny's show.
Right.
And I remember the first episode he hosted had this weird thing where he showed, like, home protection devices that were just really stupid. Then he had some wacky burglar come in and set them all off. And I just looked at it. I was like, something is terribly wrong. And right at that time, Chevy Chase hit with the worst thing ever, and David Letterman exploded.
Yeah.
The Late Show with David Letterman was amazing. Conan hit. No one knew what to think. I'm so... Howard Stern called what was going to happen with Conan before it happened. He said, as soon as they signed, like, the Jay Leno show is not going to work there. They're not going to cut him. They're going to move him back to that time slot. Yeah. He's not going to be able... Conan's going to get fucked in this deal.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
Real hard.
But, man, he handled it with so much class.
Yeah.
And that last week on NBC was so fucking good.
Hilarious.
God, it's also crazy expensive.
Not to mention Jimmy Kimmel on Leno.
Oh, Kimmel.
That was delicious.
Who would have thought that of all the late night shows, Kimmel? I love Craig Ferguson because he realizes his deficiency and just goes with it.
Yeah.
His statement about the whole Leno thing was like, he's like, you know, I don't really care too much about television, which I think is quite obvious by the show I do every night. Like, yes!
Yeah,
and Kimmel was the first person to have the balls to say, fuck you, Jay.
Yeah, what's he care?
Yeah, fuck you. You have enough money, stop. Step aside. You agreed to this, step aside. And if Jay would look like the best guy in the world if he'd said, you know, hey, I've had my shot. Let's let this kid have it.
He can't do that because he's Jay Leno.
Yeah, he's Jay Leno. So all for Jay.
You heard about this?
Yeah. You know, I was in a movie with Pat Morita.
Anyway, so in the 70s, we had Charlie's Angels, Columbo, Dallas, Dukes of Hazzard, AIDS Enough, Facts of Life.
Dukes of Hazzard. You know what fucks me off about Dukes of Hazzard?
What fucks you off about that?
What were their cousins' names?
Bo and Luke. Oh, you mean the other ones?
You mean Coy and Vance.
Okay. No, I do not mean Coy and Vance.
Yes.
That didn't happen.
Yeah. I knew that just like that. Just like I know it's John Snyder and Tom Wopat.
That's right.
That's right. I know Wopat, bitches.
Oh, yeah, Wopat. Those are fine, but MASH, in my opinion, sticks out above these, other than The Twilight Zone and Night Gallery, to a much lesser degree. MASH was... It is one of the best shows that ever happened upon television.
The ending when Blake died, that still hits me just because they have to keep going.
Yeah.
My dad actually has a funny story about like all the, what was really funny about that from the military standpoint is all the doctors that got drafted in, they weren't soldiers. They didn't have any training. They didn't know shit about it. They knew a doctor who came by my dad. He was like, yeah, we're doing this. Can I borrow your hat for this? My dad's like, I'm enlisted. Yeah? They're different fucking hats, dude. They're not the same. They just didn't know. So they weren't military men, which is what was so funny about Frank Pierce and Houlihan. It's because they were military folks. The movie has my favorite line when Houlihan says, I don't understand how a man like that was able to achieve such a position of respect within the military. And Mulcahy looks up and goes, he was drafted. Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
The asinineness of that was so good.
Yeah. It's great stuff. My dear friend Wayne just thinks MASH, in his opinion, is the greatest show ever. And I bought him the entire season for his birthday.
You're
like
a good friend,
years
man.
Ago. And he, for a while there, his cable was out, and all he had was this giant TV that our friend gave him, and he just watched MASH over and over again.
It reminds me, when I was in first grade at St. Luke's Elementary School in San Antonio, we had a talent show every year. Mm-hmm. And one year, all I recognized was the tune, but some girl came out in fatigues and sang the theme song.
Suicide is Painless?
And the nuns fucking lost it. I realize and I can see. And then, boom, suicide is, whoa! Flag on the fucking
out come
play.
The rulers.
Yeah. Flag on the play.
Don't
heresy.
You see that girl? I can break your fucking knees. Hold on, you son of a bitch.
5-yard penalty for heresy on stage.
Exactly. And then in the same breath, we had WKRP in Cincinnati, which is hard to watch on DVD without the original music. It was a fucking nightmare.
Well, that's what sucks about a lot of shows going on to DVD is they only got... that's what took the state so long to get out on DVD. Exactly. MTV had fucking crazy rights to music, and now it's like, oh shit, we don't have that anymore. The state? Should do a whole talk about sketch comedy now.
Well, we could do an entire show about sketch comedy.
Yeah. The state, Ben Stiller show, Chappelle show, the young ones I was never that into.
But I mean, it was still pretty good.
Oh, yes, yeah. Ben Stiller.
Some show from Britain with a Monty someone.
Not important.
Monty Johnson. Monty
I think there's something you need to understand. British people are not now, nor have they ever been, funny.
I'm not sure about that.
Aren't you?
I
they're not.
And I know, no. With the scrub-a-dub-dub and a rub-a-dub-dub and a scrub-a-dub all day long. With a rub-a-dub-dub and a scrub-a-dub-dub, I'd sing this happiest song.
Well, what's funny is I think we admit sketch comedy doesn't exist without the Goon Show, without the last 1942 show, without Monty Python. Sketch comedy does not exist without those at all.
The shit.
Yeah. Like, holy hell. I still remember the first episode of Monty Python I ever saw was when Eric Idle purchased the ant.
Yeah,
that was the first episode of that I ever saw, and I was like, this is amazing.
It's...
Wapley's Red Barrel and
Brownie's Red Barrel and Brought Young Men Walk. Yeah, it's great.
But yeah,
greatest thing ever. I mean, I'm sure to the Brits it's all, you know, cold soup. But to a young Texan discovering Monty Python at the age of 13.
Yeah, in the middle of the night on PBS because it was
the
only
biggest damn thing that ever happened. Yeah,
it was
so
seismic,
fantastic, man.
Like, my life was shifted forever.
Yeah, I can, like, date chunks of my life by, you know, pre-Monty Python and after Monty
Python.
Weirdest
goddamn thing. I gotten to where I knew Monty Python. I'm about to sneeze. Sorry about that. Wow, that was... that hurt. And done.
Bad
I was
blow,
familiar
kids.
With the Monty Python show. And then my friend Jason and I rented FX... with Brian Brown.
Yes.
And there was an ad for this movie called Monty Python and the Holy Grail beforehand. And that just... it was over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking over at that point. But that sketch comedy, the importance of it, and what you feel... like, from what I'm seeing right now with the shit that's happening on Tosh, but that happened on Chappelle's show, SNL and Monty Python taught us that the less serious a performer takes themselves, while the character takes themselves seriously, the performer doesn't. That's why shows like Lyricist Lounge Show on MTV, which was awful, Cedric the Entertainer Presents, failed, because they were still trying to be cool.
Yeah.
I think back to Dave Chappelle, talking to somebody and imagining what it was like to be a rapper, and he imagined himself as the black sheep wearing the black... pan legs, dancing around in a circle, playing a pan flute.
Those the shows that failed to get over were the ones where the performers didn't follow the number one credo of any kind of improv or sketch comedy.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to make a complete ass of yourself.
Uh-huh. But not,
every time. Yeah.
Well, and, but not just make a complete ass out of yourself, but do it without a wink and a nod.
Well, yeah, I mean, just you just have
go
to,
with
you
it.
Have to be fearless. Let me reduce that.
Total
you have to be
fearless.
Completely
yeah.
fearless and just be as whacked out as you want to be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things in Monty Python and the original Flying Circus, huh? This stuff didn't work at all.
No, not in the slightest.
But they threw it out there.
Yeah.
And the stuff that stuck, and then it went on and got refined more.
But they proved it, like when they dress as women. The joke isn't a man in a dress. The joke is this female character is fucking ridiculous.
Right, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it wasn't the Milton Berle looking wearing a dress. That's funny. It was these Pepper Pot women are fucking nuts.
Right.
So what do you have after this?
Well, I've got
because goddamn, we could
stuff.
Talk
Incredible
such
Hulk
comedy forever.
And
yeah,
Dallas and all that, but go on and on about the 80s.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt here. Do you want to do a sketch comedy show at some point where it's
sure.
just that? Because we need it. That discussion there told me we need to do a sketch comedy
it's
show.
It's not with me. I mean, yeah. I just lift away. But I've got a whole hell of a lot of shows, but I really wouldn't go into them. I mean, Incredible Hulk, Jefferson's.
Yeah.
$6 Million Man, Soap, which was very underrated.
Oh, Soap is brilliant and underrated. And this was when what TV is now was starting to be formulated.
Yeah. Columbo, Dallas.
Right.
Dallas. There's Enough, Facts of Life.
Dallas really perfected the cliffhanger.
Yeah. Laverne and Shirley. Muppet Show, Night Gallery, Odd Couple, Taxi.
Taxi, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Three's Company. Joyce DeWitt.
Yeah.
Vegas, where he parked his car inside of his place. That was cool. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. Welcome back, Connor. What's happening? What's happening now?
What's happening now?
And Wonder Woman, which is awesome.
Deborah Winger. I just recently saw some footage of Deborah Winger from the original Wonder Woman, where she played the little sister. Oh, my God. Young Deborah Winger. Yeah. Deborah Winger now is
Deborah
gorgeous.
Winger, period.
Young Deborah Winger.
Full
Holy
stop.
F-
yeah. Let me go into the 90s, which are just chock full of stuff that a lot of people watched and I didn't.
Yeah.
And I've watched my list go from like the 70s, which is a bunch of shows I watched, and then the 80s.
See, I had like a weird...
Let's go to the 80s.
Yeah, I had a weird gap in the 80s because living in Panama, there was a lot of shit I didn't get until like, you know, the late 80s. So there was a mainstay of shows that I got, you know, Your Perfect Strangers, Cheers, right, Cosby right. Show, Night Court, shit like that. But a lot of these other things I never hadn't even heard of.
Yeah, okay. Just going randomly from the list I have.
Right.
A-Team.
Oh, hell yeah. That show... Does not hold up in the slightest.
No. That is a children's show.
Yeah, like trying to watch it now is ridiculous. Have you seen the movie?
No. I'm sure it's okay.
It's good, yeah.
No big deal.
But yeah, the show and my favorite statement, somebody said that from the Geekdom, United States of Geekdom, said, I don't know, man, Liam Neeson kind of chewed scenery a lot. And they're like, well, George Peppard did nothing but chew scenery, and he said
it was in a Godzilla suit.
He said Mr. T was a moth.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
A-Team, Airwolf.
Mm. Jean Michael Vincent.
Amazing Stories.
Yeah, I never saw that. The only thing I know from Amazing Stories was the Wild Wild Life video.
Yeah. Baywatch,
for
obvious reasons.
Funniest moment ever. Funniest. We were watching it. Like, I was in the dorm, and I'd never seen any Baywatch.
Right.
And a friend of mine turns on the TV, and there's an episode of Baywatch on. And Hasselhoff chases this dude... And then, like, somehow I think a horse might have been involved. And he jumps off and tackles this guy to the ground and arrests him. And one of our roommates walks through the room, looks at the TV, and says, what authority does Mitch have? What authority does Mitch have? And we just kind of paused
Mitch.
And looked at him. He's also the guy who, when we turned the channel and Renegade was on, he said, ooh, starring Lorenzo Lamas, the Snake Eater.
He was a cop and good at his job. Well, then we have Friday the 13th, the series, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Never saw it.
It was an entire shop filled with cursed objects.
That sounds like James Bond Jr. nonsense.
Nah, it was pretty stupid. Greatest American Hero.
Oh,
from
man.
The late, now deceased, James Cannell.
What I will say was awesome about that is I remember the episode where he got another instruction book,
yes.
Then shrank, and got big and left the instruction book tiny.
Interesting enough, the symbol for Greatest American Hero
is Red Dragon,
which was also square feet. It's a square with a line through it, square feet. In the construction biz.
That's interesting.
Which is odd. So, yes, it is Red Dragon, technically speaking, but it also looks exactly like square feet. So it's the Greatest American Square Feet.
Awesome.
Growing Pains, of course. Another James Cannell Hunter.
Uh-huh.
Knight Rider. And apparently there was a show in the 80s called Team Knight Rider.
That lasted late 80s for like a week. It wasn't quite as weird as first episode of Knight Rider where he had a different face.
With the same voice?
That was just weird. And then he got shot in the face and ended up looking like David Hasselhoff.
Right.
Dancing on the Berlin Wall.
Then Lonesome
Freedom!
Dove.
Freedom! Sorry.
Lonesome Dove. Newhart. Night Court, of course.
Newhart has, to me, the second greatest Indian series ever. Finale ever.
Fantastic.
Yep.
You should wear more sweaters.
You should wear more sweaters. God damn, that's the best. Shit. And I remember seeing it when it aired, and my jaw hit the floor, because I was a big Nick at Night fan. I used to watch a lot of the Car 54 Where Are You and the old Newhart show. And when he woke up next to Suzanne Plachette, I was like, okay, Bob Newhart is a fucking genius.
He is.
Ugh.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da. Anyway. About Ray Theater for me. The Simpsons, obviously.
That first season of Simpsons sucks.
Oh, it's awful.
Terrible. Until they realized...
It got better.
It got much better.
Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side, and another little show popped up in the 80s that I loved oh so much.
Uh-huh.
Mystery Science Theater
3000.
Ass end of the 80s.
I still remember the first episode of that I ever saw, Cave Dwellers.
Cave Dwellers.
And they say about that show, you know you're hooked on it when you think of a joke the same time they
Right.
First episode I saw, I thought of one as soon as they came up with it.
Yep.
The first blade lifts the head away from the body a split second before the second blade. And I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yep.
I am absolutely in. And the riff tracks, even better. Just because you can...
Even better?
Well, even better because the movies are better.
Well, okay.
And they do have my favorite... The way they bag on Joe Don Baker, brilliant.
My apartment.
My favorite was in Final Justice, where he plays the Texas Sheriff.
Absolutely.
Somebody walks in the room, he looks at him and goes, you're not ribs.
That show saved my life.
Yeah, An Eagle Pass.
Yeah. I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. I just wandered upon that show innocently one afternoon. I laughed so hard in the living room, my parents had to come and check on me. They're like, what, are you okay? And I was on the floor in a fetal position, when I think something's really funny, I get that high pitch. Like,
you giggle?
Right.
No, yeah.
It was like this. I couldn't get anything out.
Right.
I was laughing so hard. I still do.
That show is so fucking good. And I love the riff tracks just because it's new and it's exciting and fun. But the Mystery Science Theater, that's why you need a Roku box, because like half that shit is on there.
All that shit is.
Girl and Lover's Lane.
Cinematic Titanic, which I buy. They've been doing a lot of live shit lately, but...
Uh-huh.
When they still do regular shows and record them, I have had every one of those. I bought every one of those on DVD. And if you're a big Misty fan and you're wondering where they all went, Riff Tracks and Cinematic Titanic.
I think of Girl in Lover's Lane.
Oh, God. I'm Big Stupid. Big Stupid?
Big Stupek. Big Stupid. God. And I'm Jack Ellum.
Jack Ellum. Yep. God,
yeah, MST3K we could talk about for goddamn ever. I love that show.
Days.
Yeah,
it is fantastic.
Brilliant.
And what else we got here? T.J. Hooker, of course. Equalizer, which apparently they're working on a film version with Russell Crowe possibly attached.
What?
Why? I have no idea.
You know who they need for that? James Lipton.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know why I'm going with Lipton.
MacGyver, Magnum P.I., Mama's Family, Miami Vice. Twilight Zone 85, which was odd, and then Werewolf, which was even weirder.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that's just random stuff.
There's one that was off the list from the 70s. Did you ever see The White Shadow?
No.
Oh, it's a good show, man. NBA player busts out his knee, ends up teaching, being a basketball coach in like...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, it's TV show. It was Paltrow, Bruce Paltrow generated it basically. Mm-hmm. But it's like this guy who ends up coaching a basketball team in like inner city LA, and he's like, and the white shadow is like talking to his players. From this point on, I'm going to be on you like a white shadow.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, solid shit right there.
Right on.
Yeah, white shadow, worth a watch.
The 90s, for me, anyway, were American Gothic, which I didn't even see.
Never saw it.
Later on, but Gino, our mutual friend, got really into that show. And it's okay.
Yeah.
The little boy who's the main character in that show is a bit of an obnoxious little bastard. So it makes it hard for me to watch. But
All right.
No problem, because we then had Angel and Buffy.
Yeah. And I know your feelings with here's what's weird about the Joss Whedon shows. I watched all of them at about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when he switches his hit when he personally switches his focus from one to the other.
Oh yeah,
because Buffy was amazing, and then it got kind of weird. And when you realize that at that time he started working on Angel, and Angel was incredible.
Yeah,
and then they both kind of dropped off, and I can't understand how you don't like Firefly.
I hate it.
I don't understand that at all.
I don't just dislike it. I hate it.
I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me in the slightest.
I don't know what to tell you. I watched that entire season.
Yeah.
And that was
all of those shows, I could see you saying that was the only one you liked, which is...
No.
But when he started working on that, the other two fell off because... Yeah. But... I love all three of the Whedon shows when they're at their best, and I think they all, with the exception of Firefly, because they had to drop it off so early, they all tied up very well. They ended those shows appropriately.
Angel more so than Buffy.
Well, at least Angel. Well, in Angel, they kind of had to rush it.
Well, they had more of a Godfather ending.
Yeah, but they had to, they found out, oh shit, we're only going to have like another 6 episodes. Well, let's do this. Buffy went interesting. You know, that was an interesting way of doing it.
It would have been better
had
Xander died.
I got you there. At least you got his eye ripped out.
Not enough for me. Dead, pulverized, resurrected, and killed again. That would have been okay for me.
They left him crippled without the eye.
Enough, not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough for Xander.
Yeah.
Awful, awful, awful. Baywatch Nights.
Oh, God. X-Files, like, let's remove the thing that people like about Baywatch, give you more Hasselhoff and werewolves.
More knights and werewolves and vampires.
But I will say one thing. Werewolves are badass.
Yeah. Frasier, which was hilarious.
I liked it when I watched it, but I never sought it out.
Me neither, but the ones I did watch were pretty funny.
Right, yeah.
And then something was a whole lot of funny, Freaks and Geeks.
Oh.
Thanks a lot, America. Yes, sons of
actually,
bitches.
That wasn't that. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot, Fox.
Well, whatever.
The problem with that was that Fox killed that show because it would disappear for 3 weeks, and they'd run 2 episodes on the same night.
Right.
Then the next week it would be on a different night. Then the following week it would be on a different night again, and they fucked it around to where it couldn't form an audience.
That's too damn bad. That show
was
fantastic. That's
one of the best damn things I've ever seen.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
He spawned all that other humor and characters that were in that to stardom for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Highlander?
Oh, man. The series had its moments that were really fucking good. That's one of those shows that falls into that, like, if they had had an idea of running it short, it would have been great. But they kept, how long can we keep banging this drum?
Sure.
And... because there were some great ideas that they went with on that show. The Dark Quickening, where he...
That was a pretty good idea, actually.
Yeah, it was a great idea, and it just... Then they started making those fucking movies, and...
Yeah.
Jesus. Brennan Ron Perlman for some fucking reason.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I forgot about the 80s.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
Never saw an episode
with Ron Perlman as some lion figure reading poetry to Linda Hamilton for some strange reason.
Like you do.
And
you
living
can't really
in the sewers.
That.
I don't know why that happened. Apparently, the writers thought, you know, America needs to be exposed to more Lord Byron.
Well,
read by a lion guy.
Well, you know what'll throw you a little bit. When I was doing my last work study job at UT, I was working at the Harry Ransom Center. I was cataloging these books, the elevator that I took, if I put my right hand out to the side, I touched the drawer where all of the handwritten manuscripts by Lord Byron were stored. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. So I was right there. When I went to the bathroom, I passed by where they were digitizing the Gutenberg Bible.
So
I'm one of the few people who's seen a Gutenberg Bible with nothing between me and it.
So you're saying, fuck me, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Squarely.
Just being clear here. Seinfeld. That show was kind of good.
It had its moments. What's weird is, for every really great episode, there was a... Okay.
Well, the thing about Sein was...
Whoa, flag on the play. The thing about Sein. Okay.
Was just kind of okay.
All right.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Every episode, it was nothing that I just fell out of my chair laughing. Uh-huh.
But as a whole, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things that when you look at it as a whole, it's fantastic.
Why are there a flag on the sign?
Sein. The sign?
The sign.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, okay. Well...
You've educated me. I was wrong.
Get out more, I guess. Get out all the way to Dawson's
Creek, motherfucker! That's why. I'm spending too much time in the house.
That's right. That's it.
Oh, God. I don't want to wait for my
life to be over. The best thing about Dawson's Creek was it introduced me to my hatred of Pacey. Or Joshua Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's continued to this day, where I tried to watch Fringe. I really, really tried. But he's in it, and I just can't do it.
I've only seen the final episode of Dawson's Creek, and...
You're not missing anything.
No, I'm not. Really not. I kind of wish I'd missed that.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. Too
King of the Hill.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
That show, that was one of those that, like, how it... Fox didn't seem to want anyone to watch it. It's like, we'll put it on during a football game.
Yeah, I don't know.
During a commercial break, we'll just
and
run
if anyone out there who's not from Texas finds that show funny, trust us, if you're from Texas, it's
that
10 times funnier.
Did you see the final episode?
No.
Find out what you don't. Do you know what Boomhauer does for a living?
No.
Kind of want to tell you, but I kind of want you to find out. It's going to take you a long time before
I'm
you see it.
I'm never going
to
watch that.
He's a Texas Ranger.
What the fuck?
He's gonna put his wallet down and it flops open and there's a fucking badge. Boomhauer is a Texas Ranger.
That's awesome.
Yep. Not a baseball player, a cop.
That's great. And then we get into the entire wolf empire of Law & Order, Law & Order SVU and CI and all that other shit. And now, Law & Order UK.
Really?
Yeah.
About time. Yeah. Somebody needs to clean that island up.
It's odd. It's odd. The promo on BBC America just has like riots in the streets of London. It says, "Finally, Law and Order comes to the UK." And then,
hey, dun-dun. But real quick, Adams, you're welcome.
Yeah, just saying. I watched the first episode.
It's about time that we exported some American style justice to the mean streets of London.
And then after we get off this 90s bullshit, we get to the only show that matters for me.
Yes?
Melrose Place. No, just kidding. Millennium.
Yes.
X-Files was fantastic. I liked it just fine. But apparently, Chris Carter decided, okay, X-Files was great, but let's go to this Guy Campbell's place and hide out in the attic. And everything he likes... And holds dear. We'll just combine that into a humorless, dark show about a really good man fighting against the evil of the world. And let's see what happens. Well, what happened was one fantastic, unbelievable season of television.
Yep.
And then two more that were okay.
Right.
But my God, that first season.
The first season nailed it.
Millennium, my God. Of course, I own them all on DVD.
Right.
I usually watch them about once a year, go through the whole period. Man, that is the shit! It's the shit! And Lance Henriksen had to be coerced into that. Not coerced, but massaged, if you will, into that role. It's like he wrote that character with him in mind. And so, Lance, hey, character actor, making anything that anybody will offer you a check.
Yeah.
Here's a great idea. Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know about
he actually
that.
Said, well, I don't know, Chris. I'm not sure I want to play Frank Black, who is possibly the greatest character ever on television. I'm not sure I want to do that.
I'm not sure that it's
oh,
not,
wait. Yes, I do.
Doesn't really sound Lance enough for me.
Oh, it's Lance. The shit.
Nice.
So anyway, Twin Peaks was good too.
I've seen one episode of it, part of a class at UT.
But not as good as Walker, Texas Ranger.
Nothing is, because Walker told me I have AIDS. Fucking Conan O'Brien with that lever is the greatest fucking thing ever.
I love it. It's fantastic. Oh, and then we have The West Wing that no one cares about.
I never saw it. I'd give it a chance just because, but I'm not overzealous about it.
I can't because I have a brain.
Yeah.
So let me go into the...
your aughts.
The aughts.
Because I still have my list.
Oh, yeah. You have plenty.
But no. Run through, because I think a lot of the shit I'm going to have is
different. Yeah, 30 Rock. So
that's not on my best of it. God.
Andy Richter controls the universe.
That is tops on my list of shows that needed more time. It is fucking brilliant.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Every episode of it is good. It's too good to have survived. It was too smart. It was too fresh. It was too on the nose. Conan O'Brien's guest spots on it were some of the funniest. Your friends are garbage. Human garbage!
Bask in my radiance.
Oh, man. Everything on that show was great. I laugh anytime I watch part. The one that I still go to is when they were doing the writing they were doing the writing program with convicts. And the winner of something got to meet some Nobel laureate. And Paget Brewster.
Oh, Paget. Man, Paget.
Brewster. Her convict wrote, 1, 2, 3, 4, let's rob a convenience store. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then he just goes on to 27. Then he just writes the word vagina over and over. And this woman looks at her and goes, "Bagina?" She goes, "I'm not going to tell him." And that delivery, "I'm not going to tell him," is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It's, if you have not seen Andy Richter Controls the Universe and you enjoy joy, humor, and wonderful things, then don't rent it. Fucking buy it.
Get a tattoo of it.
Purchase it and watch all of it. Andy's sick, and yet you live. What's great is Keith, his best friend. You know what Keith's full name is? Keith Richards.
Oh, of course.
Like, so fucking great. It's the desperado guy from Seinfeld.
In the vein of great things that didn't last, Arrested Development.
Number two on my list. That's on my list of best things ever.
Damn it.
God, it's...
Thanks a lot, America.
And what sucks is when you get into season three and Ron Howard's like, tell your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
The show that thought up a Bob Loblaw's Loblog didn't let... Henry Winkler as the lamest attorney ever. Are you one of those weird hookers that's like a man dressed up? No, baby. It drives off.
What you got there? You got some beef bone? Put that in a ball. Put some water. You got yourself a stew. Carl Weathers?
Carl Weathers. I told you my Carl Weathers, Mitch Hurwitz story. That was his idea. That was Carl Weathers. Make me cheap.
All right.
God, it never weakens. That show, no matter how many times you see it, there's new shit to discover. There's new hilarity in it. David Cross is double entendre. Oh, Michael, you are a mouthful. I will fill your sweet mouth with so much ice cream, you'll be the envy of all the boys on the block.
Oh, and David Cross is funny.
Man, you can't beat that.
Ship has sailed. The Office UK.
The Office UK and US. The
US, I haven't watched it much US.
The US is running on a little too long. What's good about it is they took the stuff that works from the UK, but they definitely made it its own.
Right.
Steve Carell is totally different from Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still that similar annoyance. Like, I love the original Office, but it's too hard to watch because Gervais is too good. It's too painful.
It's a good show.
Like, Michael Scott, Steve Carell's character, has some of the most heartbreaking lines. Every time you think he's a total douchebag, he says something where you're like, there's one where he sits down to have lunch by himself at his office. He's like, fine, says, might as well be dinner. and starts hitting you like, oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Oh. But it's both of them are good. They had more time to develop all of the characters and all of the relationships and lead it through. I mean, you ended on such a high note with the British office.
Yeah.
The U.S. has kept going, so you see more of the reality, and they are having to bring in more characters and stuff, but the U.S. one is really good. I'm not going to say it's better. It's just really damn good.
I haven't seen enough of it to know one way or the other, but right. I did watch all of the U.K. version.
Well, there are fewer episodes of the U.K. version than there were in the second season of the American version. I mean, there's like 12 total episodes of the U.K. version,
and
if that.
From there, we go to one of my personal favorites, which was completely rushed to its detriment in the second season, Carnival.
Never saw it.
That is one of those shows where someone walk up to me and say, Carnival was garbage, and no one should ever watch it, or it should never have been produced. And I would say, yeah, probably. I understand.
Not too far off there, bro.
Because the first season was, it was obvious they were setting up a big storyline and arc, and they had a lot to say, and they were taking their fucking sweet time doing it, boy.
Like an AMC show.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the first season was really good because they had a lot of breathing room.
Right.
And then they got through half of the second season, and they found out, hey, you're canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Top Gear, and went right to a muddled, thrown together ending. Uh-huh. But for a while there, it was a very good and fleshed out show.
Okay. All right.
And then, of course, we have The Shield.
Oh, God damn. I remember watching the final episode of that with you down here at this place and just going, that was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
And what was great is how Ronnie Gardacki was not originally... Oh, Beardy Beardsley?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was originally not even supposed to be there, and by the end was like the main fucking guy. That show... It's not the best TV show ever. It's not the best cop show ever.
Not even close.
But it has the best cop ever on it.
Oh, yeah.
Vic Mackey, that is the... What happens when somebody who wants to do good gets too much power and leans in the wrong direction? Because everything that Vic Mackey did was ultimately for the greater good.
Ooh.
In its own twisted lot, you can see the logic of it.
To a certain
the first cut. Episode, he shoots another cop in the face, but he does it to protect the what he's got going, and what he's got going is keeping the people of that area
safe. That cop
needs
to die, damn it.
Yeah. But you can see where his mind worked at it. Like, if he stops this, then everything I've built falls to shit, and the town becomes...
It's chaos unless that cracker gets shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Much like a lot of things.
Had to happen.
Yeah.
When they beat that dude with the iron.
That show is really good.
Yeah, it's...
Really good.
But I will say, it's intense. It's like gritting your teeth for 45
minutes.
Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of it where it's just like, why is this happening?
They brought in some ideas that I'm glad they got rid of. Dutch strangling cats.
Yeah, they stopped that.
They needed that gone quick. Dutch, with that guy in the confessional room at the end of the first season, is one of the fucking greatest things ever.
Yeah.
Just because how everyone is sitting there laughing at
him. He's a complete asshole, and he's not.
And then they had to step back and were like, fuck, man.
Yep.
Yeah, you did it.
It's a real cop.
Well fucking played.
And is how cool The Shield was is exactly how uncool Smallville is. And that's all I'm going to say about Smallville.
Smallville, I'm going to pick that up and run with it. Smallville is tops on my list for too fucking long. Four seasons into it, that was one of the best shows on TV.
It was okay.
It had some great characters going well, and then it just... I stopped watching it when the fucking dog showed up.
Yeah.
Crypto hit, and I'm like, I'm done. Cannot handle this.
Yeah. I soldiered on.
Yes, you did. Two,
and then even I, a hardcore Superman fan that I am, finally had to say, you know what? Don't think I'll let you slap me around anymore when you come home with drinking.
My friend Ben, it was so funny. I said something like, yeah, apparently Lana's dressing up. No, Lana's gone. And he says, no, Lana left. Lois has a superhero alter ego called Stiletto. Yes. And I kind of looked at him. He goes, yeah, my girlfriend likes it, so I'm still watching it.
Yeah, sure she
Much
does.
Like Supernatural.
Oh, damn.
That thing has had so many chances to pull out. And had last season ended with Sam and Dean falling into the pit, sacrificing themselves for the greater good, it would have redeemed so many problems I had with it, and I would have been down with that show.
I have been recording the new season.
Yeah.
I have now 3 episodes, I think, on my DVR.
Uh-huh.
And I have yet to bring myself to watch either of them.
I've deleted
any of them.
All 3 of them.
I can't bring myself to do it because the last 2 seasons, but especially the last season finale, were so fucking stupid.
See, I've diverged with you from there. The Castiel season.
Castiel.
No. The Castiel season, I gripped you tight and ripped you out of perdition. Yeah. That whole story arc I thought was great. And then it just got weak with the whole Horseman thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Horseman thing up to that season, I was down with it. But the Horseman shit just...
I have lost a lot of steam in that.
That was a show that's just been on too goddamn long. They should have let it go. But, nope, they'll cancel Reaper.
Right.
On the end of one of the best season cliffhangers ever. That, had they known was going to be canceled, that episode could have ended the series beautifully.
Right.
But, no.
Yeah.
Put the cliffhanger on and CW fucked them. Your show's too funny. Sorry.
Yeah. Speaking of a show that used to be funny and then stopped being funny, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Haven't watched it. I've watched like maybe 6 episodes of it.
There were... the first few seasons were really funny.
Yeah.
But by the last 2, you are kind of sick of the same song.
Well, it's... Julie, my sister, described it as what the world is like if nobody had any filter between what they thought and what they said.
Well, yes and no. Uh-huh. It's just Larry David had a lot of really good ideas.
Right.
And they were funny as hell for the first... 3 or 4 seasons. And after a while, you just kind of get sick of the same joke.
Well, what was weird with Larry David was he was a guy that when he worked on Saturday Night Live, the rest of the writers loved him. The producer didn't.
Right.
Because they'd work overnight on Wednesday writing sketches, and Larry would be done at like 5.
Yeah.
And the producer's like, we stay overnight. He's like, yeah, I'm going to finish. I have like 5 sketches for you. Never used him. There was only 1 idea that was ever used for one of his sketches. And all the writers are like, these things are fucking brilliant. And he's like, you're not using them, I'm keeping them, fine. And the sketch that they used was 2 guys who were on a building site, building a high-rise. And they're like, okay, what's that? Oh, that's the elevator. No, what's that in the elevator? Oh, that's a chair for the elevator operator to sit on. Well, what if I don't want him sitting? Well, what, you think he should be standing all day? Every idea that Saturday Night Live rejected became an episode of Seinfeld.
That's right.
As it should be. But there were some cool shit. Like, I don't know what was happening with the plot line, but that black dude that moved in with him?
Yes.
They had hilarious interactions.
They did. But that's also, ironically, that's kind of when the series started falling to shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it started just kind of, it got too spread out. And
yeah.
He was trying to win back Cheryl and all. It started to get to a little too scattershot and didn't really work out. Another show that did work out.
Uh-huh.
Before the creator decided that he wanted to make a show about John from California, Ohio, where the hell it was.
Yeah.
Deadwood.
Ugh.
God damn it. Just like Chris Carter, who lived in my attic for a few years, is saying that he would make a show for me.
Yeah.
Well, the creators of Deadwood lived in my other attic for a while and said, well, if you like the Old West, and you like the guy saying cocksucker a lot, how about this?
Well, what's funny is apparently with the language, they said people in the Old West cursed a lot, but it was more blasphemy. They said if we'd been authentic, they would have all sounded like Yosemite Sam. So they changed it to the type of profanity that we would recognize. Swearingen. Jesus H. God, Ian McShane.
The shit, man.
Oh, God, I love Ian McShane.
The first 2 seasons of Deadwood, especially the first season, were poetry. I mean, they were just perfect shows.
Ending with Ian doing the whole, before she ran that house for girls, she had a house for little...
Yeah, exactly.
She running back up,
whatever the hell.
I went there with $2.50 in my hand, and that bell would ring, and we would, like...
Anyways,
oh my God.
It is poetry.
Yeah, it is.
Especially the first season.
Uh-huh.
There is literally not a bad episode of television in that first season.
Yep.
It is perfect from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has anything to say different about it, I'll fight you. That is the shit.
Yeah, it is. It is
so good. And I'm furious that all of those DVDs cost so much.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you got to follow Ain't It Cool.
Yeah, I know.
Because they'll do shit where it's like all of them for $50.
Right.
Like,
and oh. When that happens, I'll have them all.
Yes. Yep.
And then we have Mad Men.
I have every AMC show on my top on my list. Rubicon is fantastic.
I didn't watch it.
Breaking Bad, better than the Declaration of Independence.
Sure.
And Mad Men is my jam.
See, Mad Men, I watched the first season of, and it was before I had DVR, but I just happened to be at home when it first showed up.
Right.
I loved every minute of it. Because that was almost exactly when my old man, who happens to be 74 years old, was actually in business.
Right.
Now he wasn't an ad exec, but he was working as an executive in those years where they would have scotch at fucking 11 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You know, and smoking all day and blah, blah, blah.
Well, what I love about AMC shows, I've called it television for smart people. Mm-hmm. You watch a season and you're like, God, nothing's happening here. And then it reaches the end and you're like, oh, shit.
Right.
That all was happening, but it's building like real life.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, Mad Men.
I lost track of Mad Men. I will get back on it eventually.
You need to. Oh. And I stand by, Christine Hendricks is not the most beautiful woman on television today. She's the most beautiful woman who's ever been on television. Period.
She's really pretty.
Yeah. Oh. It's like they stole the blueprints from my brain and built a woman.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
And she's cool.
That is right to your blueprints.
Yeah, it is. It is.
If only Angela Lawson showed up for me.
Yes.
And now, then we have the coup de grace.
Yes.
This is The Wire.
Oh, The Wire. That is my number one. And you haven't even finished it
exactly
yet. Season 3, to me, has some of the coolest shit, but I don't think it's humanly possible for a show to be better than The Wire.
It's really damn good. And it's not a show that, for me, considering all of my watermarks, would be something I would really, really enjoy.
Right.
Necessarily.
Uh-huh.
But it is very good because the strength of the writing is such that it didn't really matter what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Quaker fucking Weavers.
Yeah.
But the writing is so good that you're just drawn into
it. What works most for me about it is the fact that every season has a vastly different focus.
Absolutely.
And I remember when season 2 started, I'm like, fuck about the doc.
Yeah.
The shit.
Stevedores, who gives a shit?
Who gives a crap? Then by the end of it, I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You can take me away from... That's bullshit. Yeah. You can't take me... And then season 3 with a crime stat. Crime stats, I'm like, that was the reason I started watching. And I damn near want to give it... I didn't give it away to you because I wanted you to discover it. But the reason I started watching The Wire is because someone told me about Amsterdam.
Right.
And I was like, I have to fucking watch this show. Yeah. I have to. And... It just knocked me on my ass.
Yeah, it's really good.
Season 4 I like because it follows, I'm not going to say who, but one of the characters becomes a teacher who does an alternative certification program. So he doesn't student teach. He doesn't get all the education classes. He becomes a teacher through an alternative way and starts teaching math. My first year as an English teacher, I did the same type of certification, but my first year was the same year that season hit the air. So I got to see how authentic it was. And David Simon's going to be at Austin Film Festival.
Right.
I'm going to get to meet him. It's actually happening the weekend this show airs, I think.
Awesome.
Possibly. And I'm going to ask him if I get a chance to, how was he able to create that so authentically? Because it is authentic to that experience.
Yeah.
And there's a confusion in it there. Because so many folks that I know, their first day in front of the classroom, no, they've taught for 3 months. They've had internships. I subbed for like 2 months. And then the first time I set foot in front of a class that I had any real control over, I was a full-time teacher.
Right.
And that is terrifying. But yeah, The Wire, they don't cheap anything. They don't cheat at all. It has two of the best characters ever on television in Stringer Bell and Omar.
Oh, yeah.
Omar, The way Omar challenged all the masculine assholes out there who love that show, like, yeah, he's my favorite character. Yeah, he's gay. Well, I don't care about that. No, yeah. He's gay. He's openly gay and doesn't give a fuck if you like it or not. Well, I don't know about that, but he's gay. You don't have to know about it. Gay. It's true. But just fearless and a badass.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't he be gay?
Who cares? It's immaterial to his...
To his character
and the character and the arc of that character.
Uh-huh.
He's pretty much there. It doesn't make it. It's like the he wears Reeboks rather than fucking Nikes.
Right.
It makes no difference.
Where everything goes with it is so fucking brilliant though. Yeah, The Wire to me is the best shit ever. And I've got some stuff you didn't talk about that I want to kind of go into.
Hit me.
And so I'm going to leave off shit like Twilight Zone and Hitchcock Presents because those are so
kind of obvious.
Yeah, they're obvious, but also there's a lot of really bad television in there. You've got some good episodes, but a lot of really bad
Twilight Zone started off with the first hour-long episodes, then finally hit their stride with the half-hour-longs. And then, of course, all the awful, retreads in the 2000s or whatever.
And remember, like with Hitchcock Presents, Hitchcock only directed like 30 episodes. Yeah. And there's just a lot of crap. But a lot of it's really good. Just, But I'm going to start with some of the travel/reality shows. I'm a big fan of the travel shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Bourdain.
Exactly.
You gotta love
Bourdain.
I'm
hoping you would get on this other niche of shows.
Yeah, Bourdain is great except some of it wears a little thin because there is a little bit of elitism to it. But he's also, that's kind of the bag of that show. He is the kind of cuisine snob, but making it kind of accessible to people.
Yeah.
But that, at times, wears a little thin. And Hope pointed out something great, that when he goes to, Asia or Latin America, he's like, oh, look how rich the culture is, blah, blah. But then he goes to Norway and shit like that. It's like, no.
Purity.
Bad food here,
purity, I hear. I'm sure you hear, jackboots coming.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Bourdain, but so far as food goes, I like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives more than I like Guy Fieri.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And if they wouldn't pad the show out with stupid shit so much, Man versus Food,
that is the king of padding out some stupid shit.
Yes, yes. And I've been to all three of the Austin places in the same week. I go to One in a Million whenever I can. It's awesome. Juan Mesa is fucking great. He is like prototype Mexican restaurateur.
Right.
He's there all the time, smile. I went in there once and someone didn't take my order right away and he came by. Have you been taken care of, sir? It's like, oh, no, not yet. What do you need? And he personally took care of it. I was right on.
And he fucked him up and he said, bratwurst.
Yeah. Can I get a knockwurst, please, sir?
Okay.
But Man vs. Food does some cool shit. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is interesting, but they just, he's trying to hip it up too much when he calls a Stromboli a bowly.
Is it possible for someone to be too affable?
I think so.
And because I'm not. I have the ability to, phone it in.
Mm-hmm.
Phone in affability.
Yeah.
Friendliness, cordialness, what have you. But he is so authentically affable. It makes me want to hit him in the head with an iron. Is that wrong?
No.
Of me? Because he seems like a really nice guy and a very industrious guy.
Yeah.
You saw his chefography, whatever.
Right.
On Food Network, where he talks about how industrious he was as a kid. But he's a pretty smart son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But he's so fucking nice.
Well, he's found a way.
Cool with everybody.
Have you ever seen him
cook?
Makes
you want to choke him out.
I've never seen him cook.
I have on his show, Guy's Big Bite, and it's like 1,000 ingredients to make a fucking pancake.
I've seen him on so many things, and I've never seen him cook. But what strikes me about him is he's found a way to be more annoying than the Gilbert Godfrey duck in the Aflac commercial.
He's a really genuinely nice guy, and I feel like a complete prick for just wanting to
punch him in the fucking suckhole.
Fucking down, in the dark alley. Well, fucking cut different pieces in the bag. I got a property my family
owns.
The
birds got to rest.
Marry him too. I'll never fucking see him again. I swear to God. Right by the fence with that big oak tree. I can never see him again. I swear to God. Even if the fucking oil by people come by with the seismic lines, I can fucking take them down. No problem. No problem at all. They'll never fucking know. No,
they won't. They
ever know.
So, let's take a jump to a different direction here.
Fucking ever know. Oh.
Have you ever seen Dahani Tackles the World?
I have.
Great show, man.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it takes that idea, the travel into the, you know, the sporting world, which is awesome.
Yeah, why not?
Fight Quest takes it a little further, but that's become too formulaic.
It's a little much.
However, I like Three Sheets as a show that doesn't get enough attention.
Correct.
And my problem is it should be an hour long.
Yes.
There's 30 minutes, it feels too rushed in the end. But you know what show is an hour long and is perfect? Ghost Adventures.
You're right.
Zach Bagans.
No. I don't know who that Bagans. Is. All I know is Tricep Bagans.
Tricep Bagans.
Tricep Bagans going to renovate.
I'm going to renovate.
I'm going
to
renovate.
That's what it feels like to be in the Civil War.
I'm call you out.
Have you seen where they go to Gettysburg?
Of course.
When they had a talk soup and Joel McHale just says, Zach Bagans. That's what it feels like to be in the Civil War.
Okay. I don't like slavery.
I don't like slavery. I think it was America's one of America's greatest sins.
Thank you for the proviso, Tricep Bagans.
Just one of them.
Yeah.
And what's weird is talk about the nicest dude in the world. When he tries to be provocative, it just feels so forced. Like, dude, that's not in your nature, is it? Let's see. Under comedy, South Park we've already talked about. Drama. I'm gonna NYPD Blue, which was some revolutionary
episode.
Oh, dude, you'd like it. It was revolutionary. Now it seems kind of there. Show that's pushing it for me is Rescue Me.
I watched the first three seasons, and after that,
yeah, it doesn't get much better.
That's what I figured.
Too new to be great, but on its way is Sam Crow, Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, hell yeah.
That show is on its way to being one of the greatest things ever. I am a... it's Shakespearean.
The first season is very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
As they've gone on, it's gotten a little more, okay, we've kind of written ourselves in some odd places.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we do now? Especially this season.
Yeah.
This season, the bard is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, this season is a little silly.
Yeah.
But yes. Good.
But it's still I good. Like, yeah. The second season didn't have much to do with Shakespeare either.
Right, right.
But the first season
Henry
is.
Rollins working it out.
Yeah, he still has that tattoo.
Big old thing on his chest.
He does.
Speaking of a show that goes a little far, but I still love Friday Night Lights, I goddamn love that show. Kyle Chandler, I think it was Kyle Chandler, said there are two types of people. People who love the show and people who've never seen it. And it's really good, man. I fucking love it. I thought I was going to hate it. I watched it begrudgingly to shut my sister up like 90% of shit I do in my life. And I fell in love with it after one episode.
That's cool.
I was just there. Sam Crow. Here are my shows that got cut off too early. Kings.
I watched the first four episodes of Kings.
It's the fact
actually,
that
I don't know if it was four. I think up until the point where Ian McShane or the King wrecked his Escalade.
Yeah, that was about three or four in.
And he was showed up at his mistress's house with the illegitimate child.
That
or whatever.
Was a show that the fact that it hit.
Did it get better?
Yeah, it was a strong show.
See, I didn't bother after that. Oh, I lost track of it or something.
Yeah, it's a great show that you dig.
Yeah,
and
it looked cool. It sounded great.
It shouldn't have hit the air. It's impractical as a TV show,
right?
And just got to be so fucking huge, but incredibly good.
That's cool.
Reaper, yeah. The Riches.
Man, I never saw it.
Oh God, you'd love that show. It ended with a motherfucker of a cliffhanger. I mean, it's about the...
It got canceled, right?
Yeah, it got canceled. Arkansas travelers who take up a normal life. Veronica Mars got fucked. It was a great show, and it got burned. It got fucked hard. Undeclared.
Yeah.
I liked, and it could have gone interesting places. That got nailed real hard.
Really funny.
Yeah. And it could have gone great places.
Siegel chasing that kid around the dorm. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. Now let's go to shows that have been on too fucking long. Scrubs. First 2-3 seasons of Scrubs is out. The first season of Scrubs is outstanding.
Right.
It was fresh. It was original. It was really, really thought-provoking at times. It was touching. There was one episode that began with a statistic that one out of every three people who goes into a hospital dies.
Hmm.
And the episode begins with the three main characters each having a patient admitted. And you're watching it thinking what?
They're going to die.
Which one of these is going to die? All three of them.
Oh.
Like, whoa! The balls to do that.
Wow, I never saw that coming to that show.
Really?
I've only seen, like, random parts of random episodes.
There's a lot of random shit happening in it, but there is some heavy overtones because it talks about the difficulty of being a doctor.
Well, that's good. I didn't really expect that from the show.
My friend Dan, huge fan of it, and I lost track at one point. I was like, yeah, I need to catch up. He's like, don't fucking bother.
Hmm.
And it got weak, and then it jumped networks. And my friend Ben's like, it's unwatchable now. Really? The first three seasons are really, really good. But then it just went on too long. Smallville and Supernatural, we talked about. Weeds.
Never saw it.
Watch the first two seasons. When Nancy Botwin, Mary Louise Parker, she gets naked a lot in that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Netflix!
Yes.
Engage!
When she is... When
Why
you
anyone
see,
tell me that?
When you
Damn
see...
Gino!
Yeah. Kind of a bastard about that. When you see her riding down the street on a Segway away from a burning subdivision...
Is she naked?
No, not at that point. That, to me, is where the show should end.
Okay.
And it goes on, and it just gets fucking weird. It's too much. I mean, she ends up married to a fucking Mexican crime lord politician.
Yeah,
it gets weird.
Yeah.
Prison. Weird. Yeah, Prison Break.
Never saw it.
First season was really cool, but once they break out of prison, not really much of a point of the fucking show. And the season finale is them breaking out. Next season, they're on the run. It just goes weird. And then it ends up with him in a Panamanian prison. It's just too goddamn... Alias. Too long.
Never saw it.
Good show. The first four seasons of that are outstanding. Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Oz was good, but...
I forgot about Oz.
The first two seasons were perfect. And it should have ended there. It should have ended with the fucking riot police going in. That's where that shit, boom, put a bullet in it. It's over.
That was a good show.
Now, let me walk through the shit that you left off that I think is great from your top. This is my top 10. These are my best. We've already talked Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Already talked The Shield. Already talked The Wire. Already talked Arrested Development, Freaks and Geeks. South Park, we've already talked about before. Dexter.
Oh, shit. I forgot about Dexter.
Here's how I rank it. Dexter Season 1 is good.
Oh, it's very good.
Season 2...
Little comic booky.
Little comic booky. Season 3, good.
Very good.
Season 4...
Fucking excellent.
Fuck every other season of that show. Season 4 is...
Excellent.
Shit. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, you can't... Excellent you show. Don't even come close. It's not... Holy hell.
Very good. Kind of wrote themselves to a corner. That they're trying to write themselves
out of. And
they're
doing an amiable job from what I've seen thus far.
I kind of like the fact that they're making him unstable.
Yeah, they need that.
This show, and I've argued this with a friend of mine, is, he thinks, well, this show could just go on in perpetuity.
No.
And I say, no. There has to come an end.
Yeah,
a serial killer is not stagnant.
No,
in his process, he has to evolve, and eventually he's going to lose control because it is a compulsion.
Yeah,
that's the number one trait within all serial killers is compulsion.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that he killed that spoiler, he kills that aimless drifting asshole in the bathroom of the new season.
Right,
is proof of it.
And at a point, it gets to where they want to be caught. Whatever you say, they want to be caught.
This has to come to a head.
Yeah, it does.
Can't, and the last episode, you know, they send off the two stepchildren.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, they just send off. They send off
Aster and Cody.
Aster and Cody,
which you see coming,
of course.
Yeah.
How long can you have Aster going? I hate you. I hate you. Yeah. I hate you. It just it's
that little kid's on my fucking nerves.
And that Cody kid with that haircut, what fucking parent? Cuts a boy's hair like that beyond the age of two, where he's so cute. He looks like the fucking berries and cream guy from that commercial. It's ridiculous. Anyway, they're gone.
It's a great show, though, man.
It's a great show. And I'm interested to see how they finally bring this to a head, because it has to come to a head.
It has to, yeah.
If it doesn't, this show is going to fall.
Well, and that's what the thing is. I can see them working on an end game now.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk 6 Feet Under briefly, because it starts out really brilliant, gets kind of weak, really dark, really heavy in the middle, and it has what I consider to be the best series finale in the history of television. I don't think any show comes close to the series finale of that show. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. It's a lot of time to get to it, but just know that the last 10 minutes of the final episode are the best thing you'll ever see. It is fucking phenomenal. From there, we'll go to a British show that you've never seen, but some folks over in the UK have, called Peep Show.
Mm.
Peep Show features Robert Mitchell and David Webb, who are kind of the comedy troupe du jour over there. Right. They have did you rape this woman?
Right.
Yeah, that Mitchell and Webb sound, I'm just an old white guy in a suit, but are you and I so very different?
Right.
But it's kind of an odd couple thing with their friendships, but Peep Show comes from the fact that it goes first-person point of view between the two characters, telling you what they're thinking mm-hmm. as well. It's fucking great. It has a guy who gets engaged out of embarrassment.
Well, that's good.
That's all you need to know. He gets engaged out of embarrassment. It's fantastic. I'm going to go with another British show, the British version of Life on Mars.
Okay.
The American version was nonsense. The British version with John Pym,
mm-hmm.
great. 2 seasons, ends beautifully. Fucking fantastic. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Spaced.
Spaced. Yes, Spaced is here.
I was going to say The Mighty Boosh.
Never seen Mighty Boosh, but...
The Mighty Boosh is so...
weird.
My... kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's so fucking random.
Right.
With the drug-addicted fox and all that. And
uh-huh.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. Hilarious.
What I remember about Spaced was getting hold of the bootleg that they had for the first season. Right. And us sitting and...
all the time.
Her hair looks stupid.
All the time.
All the time. We sat down to watch an episode and ended up watching the entire season in one sitting. Just going, God damn, this is
hilarious.
So this is so fucking good.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Futurama is hilarious as well.
Yes, it is.
I'm rewatching it now. There has not been a bad episode of that show.
Zoidberg.
Oh. This pipe that's going through my midsection hurts. It's supposed to. Oh, look. It's Mr. Hypochondriac.
That's
my new favorite line. Who are those horrible orange men? They're the Grunkalunkas. They work on the factory machinery. Tell them I hate them. Not just I hate them.
Tell them
I hate them.
Good news, everyone.
God, it's fantastic. And there are some touching moments on it. The dog episode. Oh, God, that's hard to watch.
And if anyone's wondering why we haven't mentioned Family Guy, it's because Seth MacFarlane is a douche.
And South Park killed that show for me. And Seth MacFarlane takes himself way too seriously.
He does. He does.
Battlestar
Galactica. Galactica?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
You need to watch that shit.
Everyone tells me this.
You need to. I'm not going to tell you it's the best thing ever, because I know you'll watch it and be like, well, Jim, it was good. But
No, I won't do that. If it's really good, it's really good.
It's really fucking good. I watched this series. I got like 3 seasons into the series before I watched the miniseries that started it.
Right.
And it works either way. Really fucking strong. A total reimagining of it. It is a lot harsher and grittier and real. Which... the last episode I liked. It's a little weird, and some people don't like it, but I like the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to jump to 2 British shows here. One is Steve Coogan's Saxondale. Have you seen it?
No.
He plays like an ex-roadie who's now an exterminator in suburban England.
Well, I like it already.
He has, the beginning of this one episode, he's in a forced anger management class. And this guy is going off of this whole thing. He's like... you know, I don't remember what I was doing, but when I wrapped that Porsche around a tree, I'll tell you, those strippers must have been psychic, because they got out of the car a minute before I wrapped it around the tree. I didn't care. I went right into a bar, ordered a double jack, cut up a line of the devil's dandruff, and got... And Saxondale raises his hand. He's like, that reminded me of a time when I was so high from drugs and fat from pies that I got into my car and I backed over a puppy. And I was so high from the drugs that I ate it. Then I was so high from the drugs that... And I was so thirsty, I drank the battery acid from my car. And from the drugs, I fell backwards into some farm equipment. And it severed all of the tendons in my head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Also in my eyes and ears and mouth and nose. But mostly my head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Knees and toes. And he goes on this whole thing. And then he goes his whole fucking litany of shit. And he goes, so, do I win? Win what? I'm the award for I'm dead interesting because I did the most bad stuff when I was high. And the guy's like, hey, you can make all the fun you want, but I was living on the edge. Yeah, of Windsor. Shine on, you crazy diamond / personal banker. Hey, hey, hey. You look at it this way. You used to be a total dick. Now you're just a bit of a dick. It's fucking great. Because he takes himself as this very pompous rock and roll. Oh, everything's so much... But he's a fucking suburban exterminator. Really good shit. And I'm going to finish it off with a show that was brilliant. It's been on forever. As Doctor Who.
Sure.
The David Tennant run was amazing. The ending of his run was a little weak. The new shit, I like Matt Smith. The showrunner's fucking it up. It's not going where it needs to go. And it's just a little weak. But... the David Tennant years. Chris Eccleston shit was good. David Tennant fucking redefined how cool the Doctor
was. I watched a lot of the David Tennant stuff, and I found every one of them very enjoyable.
When you get into the arcs...
Yeah, that's what I'm lost at. It's like I get bits and pieces.
They have shit in there where it's like three seasons, and they hide clues for three seasons throughout the show. Right. Bad Wolf is a...
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. That was with the Queen?
That was one of them. Bad Wolf is all over the fucking place.
Well, I don't know. I one of the last episodes I saw with David Tennant was the Queen was involved in one of the member of her family as a werewolf.
Yeah, well, that was one the one where she formed an institute at the castle in Torchwood.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, that's where Torchwood came from. And Torchwood is a really cool spinoff. You'd like Torchwood a lot. But yeah, Doctor Who was great.
Yeah.
I mean, the older stuff is cool, but the problem is there's so fucking much... of the older
stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to digest.
That it's tough. And what direction to go in, because everyone plays the Doctor a little differently, and there are times when he doesn't have the TARDIS, so he's stuck on Earth. And but yeah, the David Tennant Doctor Who is unreal. How good that shit is.
Which brings me to my new favorite show.
Yes.
Top Gear.
Top Gear. Was it because...
Not just because of Jeremy Clarkson. And every time Hammond says, well, here comes Clarkson.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, that's nice, but Jeremy Clarkson may be a Clarkson, but he doesn't look like me.
Yeah.
Probably related, but I don't care.
Uh-huh.
I mean, give it the beans.
Give it the beans.
I really dig that show. And now that I know on BBC America, it comes on at 5 o'clock. I have old repeats at 5 every day. That's usually when I get in, or hopefully, you know, either before or after sometimes. But I get to come home and watch my recorded DVR version of Top Gear every day. I love Top Gear. It's fantastic. I'm not even a gearhead, and I like Top Gear.
I've never seen it, but apparently it's like a fucking law. If you live in the UK, you have to watch
it. I don't know. It may be a joke to the fucking Brits that Yanks are going, yeah, Top Gear's great. They're like, you fucking idiots. Well, whatever. I really enjoy the show.
There's actually a character on Saxondale in one episode that's a takeoff of Jeremy Clarkson, and their interplay is so funny, and he ends up having shirts made with his picture on it that says, he keeps saying, a bit of a dick.
Some people say that the Stig, you know, and all this, across the line, James May. You know, he talks like that.
Oh, man. I need to watch that show because everyone tells me I love it.
I love it. When I was first introduced to it by Gino, of all people, I was like, yo, I like this show. I'm like, well, I'm not a gearhead. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Now I'm totally hooked.
Right.
I record every show on BBC. Some that I've seen twice, I still watch them. It's like the fucking Two Fat Ladies on BBC Original. I watch every one of them over and over. And Nigella
Lawson.
Why aren't you here?
God damn it! Every one of her shows ends with her in silk pajamas having a midnight snack.
Yeah, well, it doesn't end with me in her silk pajamas having a midnight snack. God damn it. And that is why I know the tallest bridge in Texas is one I can find. Fuck my life.
Wow. You know, that might be the perfect note to end our TV party on.
God damn it.
God damn.
So anyway, Top Gear is...
Top Gear, good shit. Well, what's weird, all the shit we've talked about here, we've barely fucking brushed the tip of it with television. I mean, barely brushed the tip. So,
that's true.
I know some of y'all folk out there are going to take issue.
I know plenty of people going, Barney Miller, come on, Barney Miller.
What about Fish?
What about Fish?
Yes. No Golden Girls.
Girls.
Wow. See, I knew the weird TV shows. Like, I grew up watching fucking Ellery Queen and the Black Sheep Squadron. Maud.
21 Jump
Street. Lady Godiva. See, I grew up in Panama where we got weird leftover shit, like a Hawaiian Heat and like half a season of the Muppet Show.
Right.
And crap like that. But
and the Cheers spinoff. The fucking...
The Tortellis? Yeah, I saw every episode of it.
Fucking love all it, four man. Of them.
Living in Vegas. That's the one where Cliff and Norm visited. It was wonderful. But that's besides the point. Email us. TheFilmThugs@gmail.com. Check us out at TheFilmThugs.com and Facebook or Twitter if you want to randomly find out if I'm watching a movie. Anyway, yeah, fire off what you want, and we have no idea what we're going to do next, but it'll be something. So until then...
Don't you go changing.
Wow. All right, well, thank you once again for listening. Musically, started with TV Party by Henry Rollins, not the Black Flag version, just one he did years later. We're ending with the Rockford Files. We use The Office, The Wire, 30 Rock, Breaking Bad, and the introduction for The A-Team. Please join us again next week when it looks like we're coming out on Halloween, so Clarkson's finally getting his long-awaited horror show. Thanks for listening.